The crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now, live from American Family Field, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
I tell you what, they're not hanging that game in a museum anytime soon, but it certainly is a Game of the Year candidate, and the Brewers win 5-4 over the Dodgers. It was not the sharpest, it was not the prettiest, it was not the best executed game by either team in all facets. But the only thing that mattered at the end of the day, Brewers win, Cardinals lose, the lead is 8.5. Okay, and furthermore, you break the winning streak for the Dodgers. You still have not lost four games in a row at all this season. You're the only team in baseball that can say you have not lost four games in a row at any point this season. And you have the opportunity for the split tomorrow, and maybe you're handing the ball to your hottest pitcher in Tobias Meyer. So you have given yourself a chance to salvage this four-game series. I know you haven't won the season series, but you have your suddenly a chance to make it happen and generate momentum, as we talked about today here on the pregame show with Pat Murphy, that even when you're in these little pockets of downside and not maybe your full potential offensively, the Brewers found a way to get the job done today. And furthermore, the way they did it, down 3-0 with the bases loaded and nobody out in the first inning to produce three runs out of that for the Dodgers, and then for you to have the bases loaded and nobody out in the bottom of the inning and not score. I mean, that was a gut punch of all gut punches. For the Brewers to still come back and respond and tie the game in the second inning set the tone for the rest of the day. I think the biggest thing from the Brewers was, even though they didn't score in the first inning, they had every opportunity to do so. They got men on base. They saw a ton of pitches from Walker Buehler. And, you know, right up here on top, I mean, Walker Buehler is not the same. It has not looked pretty for tonight's starter for the Dodgers. He was all over the zone. The only pitch he had command of was his cutter, which he kind of got under control later in the game, but it was too late by that point. He threw 74 pitches through three innings of work and ultimately was pulled in this one. The Brewers took advantage of mistakes that a superpower like the Dodgers do. The Brewers certainly made mistakes of their own, and trust me, we will talk about those mistakes. But at the end of the day, the kids did their job today. Turang breaks out of his funk. Churio with a couple of opportunities, putting the ball in play, breaking out of his mini-funk. You also saw Jake Bowers continue to play his role well. And while the bottom half of the order didn't do much as far as, you know, base hits aside from Bowers, Frelick got aboard, his speed caused problems. You had Mitchell get aboard, steal a base, and score on the weird, on the error at third. Weird game nonetheless, but the Brewers got the W. That is all that matters here at the end of the day. 855-616-1620 is the phone number. 855-616-1620. If you want to join us here on the show tonight, got my player of the game poll up as well over on my Twitter at Dom_Catronio. And Craig Kishon is going to join us in just a little bit. Tom from South Dakota. Three losses. That's it. That's the coolest stat of the year. No bad slumps all season. Even if it is LA, that was awesome. And that was the game of the year, according to Tom. Another one. That's an undaunted win. After that first inning collapse, I thought it was over. Turang with another under the radar game, especially with that bunt to move Ortiz. Jeff from Elkhorn. Montas showed some fortitude. Can you explain plays? Explain the blocking the plate rule? Can Turang plow him over? Big win for the crew. So let's start there. Okay, now the Brewers are down 3-0, heading to the bottom of the first inning, and they quickly load the bases on walks from Walker Buehler. Contreras is up, nobody out, bases loaded. He hits a fly ball to center, wasn't super deep. Kiermaier, elite center fielder, gets behind the baseball and fires home. Turang running from third, good runner. You'd send him 100 times out of 100. And it was a perfect throw from Kiermaier. The throw and Turang arrived just about the same time. I would say the throw beat him by a step. But the throw also pulled Austin Barnes a step into the line and into Turang. So Turang's slide was blocked on his way to the plate. There was conversation between Pat Murphy and home plate umpire David Rackley. He ultimately did not challenge the play. The way I read the home plate collision rule. And I even tweeted this disclaimer. Every day I see something different with the home plate collision rule. Because right when I think I understand it, I don't. And even managers have talked about not fully understanding it. You've seen managers get tossed over this. You've seen catchers get confused over this. What's blocking the plate and what isn't? Ever since the Buster Posey collision 10 years ago now, which is wild, that the catcher cannot have his foot, like we used to see back in the day, in front of home plate in the baseline. So imagine the plate, you know, the corner pointed toward third base. You can't have your foot past that corner in the base path without the baseball. The one caveat to that is if the throw reasonably takes you into the line. And that's where it gets funny. Because the way that the rule is explicitly set, I will read it to you right now. Rule 6.01(i)(2). If the catcher blocks the pathway of the runner in a legitimate attempt to field the throw, that's the key phrase there, in a legitimate attempt to field the throw, an example, in reaction to the direction, trajectory, or the hop of the incoming throw, or in reaction to a throw that originates from the pitcher or John, an infielder. In addition, a catcher without possession of the ball shall not be adjudged to violate the rule if the runner could have avoided the collision with the catcher by sliding. This is where the whole legitimate attempt to field the throw, in the umpire's eyes, and I haven't heard what Pat Murphy had to say about this yet, but in the umpire's eyes, I imagine what David Rackley told Pat Murphy, said he was making a move to field the throw. And you're not going to get that overturned in New York either. It's a frustrating rule because it's not black and white. We're like, oh, you can't block the plate. He should be safe. It's not black and white. There's a lot of gray area in this rule, and there was a reason that Pat Murphy decided not to challenge it. Furthermore, another tweeter sent this in, like, hey, it was a first inning, too. You don't want to burn your challenge on a risky challenge, which I thought was a really important call, too. But then, yes, double play, don't score a run, but two outs, and Adames comes up, and he strikes out. So you're thinking there, after the Dodgers score three in the top of the first, getting the first four batters aboard against Frankie Montas and scoring three runs, then the Brewers getting the bases loaded and nobody out and not scoring, you're thinking, oh boy, here we go again. You know, it's going to be one of those days. And kudos to the Brewers. Jake Bowers started it off in the second inning, solo homer. Then Frelick reaches on an error, which should have been an infield hit if you ask me. So he's aboard, and then with two outs, Terang rockets one off the wall in center, a backbreaker. I'm going to start calling this a stat. I'm going to call these backbreakers. Two strike, two out RBIs. So Terang hits one off the wall in RBI. Churio, two strike, two out. RBI single to left. Boom, this game's tied 3-3, and there was a whole new ball game from there. We'll talk about that with Craig Kishon coming up in just a little bit. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. Let's get to a few of these texts as well right here in your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. It's commercial banking value that only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association. Member FDIC. Couple of texts here. Aaron in Illinois, with everything that happened the previous 2 days and in the top and the bottom of the first, sure shows a lot of heart to turn that thing around and bring it all the way home for a W. Murph kept the team believing. Player of the game has to be Devin Williams, but credit to Pyomps for such a great job as well. Difference-making moment was when Devin Williams exited the bullpen and took the mound because it was over. And Churio's getting better every day. Go Crew. Also an update on McGill. McGill's throwing a rehab outing tomorrow up in Appleton with the Timber Rattlers tomorrow. It could be a one-and-done for McGill, given how short he has been on the injured list. So the Brewers are encouraged that their bullpen is all coming together right now with a chance that can get the job done. Craig Kishon's going to join us in just a moment here on WTMJ. Just looking down the box score here, man, it was not a pretty game. It was not a well-played defensively game. Obviously, the Brewers scored the go-ahead run with an error thanks to Mookie Betts. There were four errors total in the game. There were a total of seven walks in the game and a hit by pitch. You had runners left in scoring position. It was a weird one, Craig Kishon, but man, I just look at it. This was the type of win that we saw the Brewers putting together in like May without Christian Yelich, where it's like any means necessary, just get the W, and they win a 1-1 game today.
Well, they found out what it's like to put the ball in play tonight and let the defense try to get him out, because that didn't work out well for the Dodgers, as it turned out. But it's all about finding a way to, you know, put pressure on opposing pitching and the defense, no matter what team you're facing. And I thought they just were as scrappy as I've seen them in a long, long time. And sometimes it puts the opposing team on their back heels a little bit. And I think we saw a little bit of that tonight. But I think, you know, more importantly, we just saw kind of what we've seen all season long with this team at important times. I mean, they had a 3-game losing streak. Yesterday was kind of a zombie game, to be honest with you. They just didn't seem like they were in it. And there's been very few of those games. And to be able to bounce back the way they did tonight, and then the fashion that they did, that was a big comeback, being down 3-0 in the first inning against this Dodger team. I mean, didn't see that one coming necessarily.
The Brewers, they play another 1-run game. It's their 38th of the season. That is the tie for the 5th most in baseball. Nothing new. The Brewers play a ton of close games, and with the sloppiness and with the putting the ball in play, I thought it was so important to show all these rookies, because, I mean, man, the juxtaposition, Craig, of with all due respect to the Brewers lineup, okay, this is just the nature of the beast. When you look at Ohtani, Betts, Freeman, Hernandez, and then you see Turang, Cheerio, Black, Contreras. Look, one of these things is not like the other. And all four of the guys on the Brewers are going to be solid big leaguers one day. And there are a lot of questions here about Tyler Black in the 3-hole. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But, man, it's just like, holy cow. I mean, Freddie Freeman got 3 hits and he won the game. Mookie Betts got 2 hits and he won the game. You kept Shohei without a hit and you won the game. Like, holy cow, that is so hard to handle, that top of the gauntlet. And twice the Brewers almost escaped. Once they did so with Devin Williams in the 9th, and Jared Koenig almost escaped in the 7th. But that top four, man, it's scary to try to only see that one more time, hopefully tomorrow.
Yeah, it is. It's just amazing. You know, you play these four-game series, I mean, they become enormously long and challenge, I think, your psyche a little bit, to be honest with you. But when you're playing a team like the Dodgers, and like you're saying, Dom, you're facing these names, these all-stars, these future Hall of Famers, whatever you want to call it, because it's all true. And then you're bringing it with some rookies, some second-year players, some guys that maybe shouldn't be here right now, but are because of injuries, to guys that are your all-stars and they're not in. It is pretty amazing. It really is. And then the way this one ended, I can't say enough about how impressed I was with what Devin Williams did. I can't remember a time recently, anyway, that I have seen a guy mow through Ohtani, Betts, and Freeman, no matter who they are in what decade, on 7 pitches in a 1-run game. I mean, I just think that's phenomenal. The way you may have looked at the scoreboard, if you just saw the numbers, it may have seemed like it was a 10-run lead. It was a 1-run game, and he mowed through these guys. I haven't seen anything like that in a long, long time.
And not just 7 pitches. All 7 pitches were strikes.
Yeah.
Like, very much, here it is. Hit it. I dare you. And Bill Schroeder made a great point over on Bally Sports Wisconsin that the first pitch of the inning was landing the airbender changeup against Shohei Ohtani and getting him to swing and miss. Because that kind of failed him against the Reds last week. He needed to have the airbender, and setting the tone right off the bat made the fastball that much better, which he ultimately got Mookie Betts on, and then he got Freeman to roll over on a changeup. But it's just like, when you see Devin, when he has both of his tools working, the changeup and the fastball at the same time, it's unhittable. And to have him back, it just, absence makes the heart grow fonder, right? Man, these guys really missed him.
Well, it seemed too to me that it was the beginning of this next edition, we talked about it while he was out. When he comes back, it's going to be like this incredible trade deadline acquisition. And I think tonight, definitely the start. And the good news about it is there's still plenty of season left where you're going to need more of what we saw tonight. And it gets you a little excited for the postseason as well. Maybe very excited.
When I look at today, and we'll wrap up this segment with this, then we'll talk some unsung heroes in the next segment. I mean, the little mistakes that added up for both teams, but especially the Brewers. You know, we can talk about the double play and that how Turan got thrown out at the plate in the first, but that's just playing hard and you got unlucky. But then in the fourth inning, obviously, the Joey Ortiz mishap on the bases. For those who are confused on that ruling, so Joey Ortiz was stealing on the pitch to Bryce Turan. Turan lines a double down the left field line. But Ortiz was running, and he lost track of where the baseball was. So he slides in the second, pops up, doesn't know where the ball is, touches second, and retreats. He starts going back to first. Then he finds the baseball. And as he is retreated, he has to hit the bag again in order to advance to third. Because the ball was in the air. He was like, oh. Okay, that ball's down. Let me go. But he cut in front of the base in more of a direct line to third. Baseball 101, you have to retouch the base. And he rounds it, and he goes to third. He's in there safely. But then it was reported by MLB Network and John Morosi that Clayton Kershaw is the one who noticed it. They told Dave Roberts, go out there, buy time, and appeal to second base. The replay room was on it. They appeal to second base, which you're allowed to do. You're allowed to appeal all the way until a pitch has actually been thrown. They appeal. The umpires got it right. They called him out. That mistake could have sunk this team, but they were able to manage and recover with the ball in play from later in the game. But, man, like Ortiz did not have a day tonight, and they still survived it.
Yeah, that was – I haven't seen that one before either. I mean, I've seen guys be in a position in a situation where they had to re-tag or retouch a base. But I felt for Joey there. I mean, that – you know, when you're the base runner and your head's down and you don't know where the ball is and you're thinking you just got to get into second base, and I'm sure he's hearing, you know, his dugout yelling. I'm sure he's hearing Jason Lane over at third, you know, and he's trying to regroup in a matter of less than a second. You know, clearly it was clearly the right call. There's no doubt about that. It was a tough one to accept, but you know, two outs on the bases in that inning too, and they still ended up scoring a run. So you can imagine where that would have gone. And then that first inning too, with the bases loaded on walks with nobody out, and they don't get any runs there. So you can easily say this one should have been an 8-3 win for Milwaukee or somewhere along that line, but they'll take it. I mean, they know how to win these close games. They know how to stay in, and they know how to overcome if they have made a mistake because there's still game left, and they played this one out to the end.
Churio to put the ball in play twice with two strikes, producing two runs off of those swings. Now, he only got one RBI because the second go-ahead run was scored on an error, but like you said earlier, putting the ball in play is a good thing, and I'm going to keep track of these. I'm going to call them backbreakers. Anytime you get a two-strike, two-out RBI, I think we're on to something here, Craig.
Yeah. It seems to me that lately that's about the only thing that I write down is my side note into my scoring log. Up two outs, two strike pitch, you know, and you get the RBIs or whatever. It is something, man, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, let's talk some unsung heroes. That's coming up in the next segment, 855-616-1620. This text from Alex: the baseball gods prevented the Brewers from falling to a four-game losing streak, which still hasn't happened. Let's get the series split tomorrow. Good thoughts there from Alex. More after this on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings.
Barry.
This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
In case you missed it, the Brewers are up 8.5 games now here in the division, despite the doom and gloom that has been here the last couple of days. Don't worry. They're up 8.5 because the Cardinals just got swept by the Reds. I said it last night, Craig, you know, candlesticks make a nice gift. Got to figure out something to give Cincinnati for the help. And furthermore, the Dodgers are on to St. Louis after this. After tomorrow, the Cardinals are off tomorrow. If the Brewers can earn the split, they'll be up 9 games on St. Louis as the Cardinals prepare for the Dodgers. So kind of send them on their merry old way. And then the Brewers get their hand at the Cardinals finally again next week. So maybe everything's coming up roses here in August for the Brewers to sort of assert their dominance permanently here in the Central.
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of thinking along this line of this not having long losing streaks, and the higher this lead becomes, or the greater the lead becomes in this division, you know, if they keep playing the way they have been, and there's no indication that they wouldn't, Dom. I mean, they've been doing this all season long. They are who they are. We know who the Brewers are right now. Having, you know, an 8 or a 9 game lead like this, it may not make the team feel comfortable, but I think, you know, in the whole baseball grand scheme of things, this is setting up really well for the Brewers to, you know, continue to get better, hopefully continue to get healthier, and have some guys continue to step up and be able to win this thing. And, you know, to me, really make a strong bid for one of those top two seeds yet in the National League, and get that bye and get that rest and get out of the wild card. We talked about that yesterday too. So I'm feeling good about that scenario. That's for sure.
The Phillies also won tonight, so the Brewers remain 2 games back of the second seed here in the National League. So let's talk about tonight. Frankie Montas, as bad of a start it was, I know this is going to sound crazy, and you've heard it before from me in my glass half full take on things. Frankie didn't pitch that bad in the first inning. He really didn't. He gets ahead of Ohtani 0-2, and a ground ball to third. He hit it hard, but Joey Ortiz makes an error, a rare error. I mean, he's 0-2, and he gets a ground ball. Did his job. It was a hard-hit ground ball, I know. Then Betts, line drive, clean single when he got ahead 0-2 on him. Tip your cap. He's a great hitter. Then Freeman, he had him beat with 2 strikes, had him beat on a splitter, and he just flails and pokes one in the left field for a base hit, and then the mistake came by walking Teoscar Hernandez. But even yet, he battles back to strike out Lux. He gets ahead of Kike, but he gets him, doesn't get him to retire on 2 strikes. He flies out, and then the Kiermaier double was a backbreaker too. But Frankie, there were mistakes in that first inning, but you could see the ingredients, that the fact that he was able to respond the rest of the game. He only allowed 2 more hits the rest of the contest. He threw 102 pitches to get through 5 innings. I learned a little something about Frankie today. The dude's a dog. The dude's a competitor. The dude does not want you to take the ball out of his hands. Yes, he had a few walks today and some long ABs, but for him to get through that second time through the order without allowing a hit, I thought really was the difference-making moment of the game. Yes, it helped the Brewers tie the game, but the fact that Montas was able to stabilize this game while Buehler could not is the reason why the Brewers won this game.
Yeah, and it showed a guy that has been around the league before and has had much more success than obviously he has had this year. He's been solid, and he was brought over here, though, to put the Brewers in position to win games. And falling behind early in that first inning, to be able to recover from the second inning on, and like you said, Dom, not give up any more runs. I mean, he kept his team in it, and that is the bottom line. You get halfway through the game, and you give your team a chance to win. That's what veteran guys do. Now, this guy can probably still get better as we go along. I think the longer he's a Brewer and the longer he works with Chris Hook and their pitching staff, I still think that, you know, they required him for a reason. And it's not just to, you know, throw 100 pitches in 4 and 5 innings and, you know, walk 3 or 4 guys and see what you get. I think they believe in him. And I really think that he did a terrific job after that first inning. That the error to open things up just sometimes throws off your psyche a little bit, and then you see the little dink hits, and you know, can't get that final strike to get an out, and you give up a couple of more runs. Still, 3 runs after all of what we saw, how that inning started, you got to feel pretty good, and you know the Brewers haven't even batted yet. They have plenty of time to come back, and they chipped away and did, but they did it because he kept them in the game, and that's why they brought him here. Keep him in the game. Give your team a chance to win. That's the type of pitcher they need right now.
I agree. And the other unsung hero, and maybe he came into the game one batter too late, if you ask me, but Pat Murphy had a good reason on this, Yoel Piamps. Yoel Piamps going four up and four down today, continuing his hot stretch that started back in July. Yoel Piamps stabilizing the eighth inning while Trevor McGill is out with injury suddenly gives you another option here for the Brewers, and confidence again with Yoel, with him getting rest right now. Yoel is the top of my list. Now, would I have brought him in to face Rojas? So the situation is, in the seventh inning with two outs and two men aboard, Gavin Lux, a lefty, was due up against a lefty, Jared Koenig. Yoel Piamps is ready to go in the bullpen. But Doc Roberts decided to bring back Lux and bring in a righty in Rojas. So maybe logic thinks, okay, bring in Yoel Piamps. But then Pat Murphy explained after the game the reason why he did not go to Piamps there is because he was afraid that Doc Roberts was going to counter the counter and burn Rojas and just go ahead and put Jason Hayward in as a pinch hitter, as a lefty, and who's a very good pinch hitter in his career against Piamps. So that's a valid reasoning. I think that's all good. Obviously, Kana gave up the base hit to Rojas, but then Piamps settled things down, kept the game tied, didn't allow anything else, and he locked down the eighth inning.
Piamps has just been tremendous. There's no question about that. And it continues to solidify, you know, the Williams return. Koenig was out, his return. Mears was solid in the sixth inning as well. And, you know, when you get McGill back, just think about how this scenario could go. I mean, let's just say this. If Frankie Montas can give up three runs, no earned, and give you five innings, look what you got with this bullpen, inning by inning till the end of the game. This is a great scenario with under 50 games to go. And so Piamps getting stronger after having a rough patch there at midseason and getting rested and healthy again has been a huge, huge addition here. There's no doubt about that. And as far as, you know, pitcher batter matchup against this Dodger team, I mean, it just goes to show you how deep they are. I mean, you start thinking really long and hard about how you're going to use your bullpen, particularly with this team. It's not just their starting lineup.
And the stretch goes back to July 12th for Yoel Piamps. His last 12 games, 11 innings. He's only allowed one run, three walks, 11 strikeouts over those 11 innings. Just two hits in there, too. And maybe the most important stat, as the Brewers have learned a little bit about Yoel versus Elvis, is that Yoel has inherited seven runners over these last 12 games. None of them have scored, which we saw Elvis Piguero struggle with that role previously coming into mid-innings. Yoel Piamps has seemed to have found a role as the fireman for the Brewers, not just pitching in the eighth inning.
Yeah, that's huge stuff. I mean, the inherited runners is, to me, that stat you just have to go to with these relievers, because a lot of these guys are fortunate that they can start innings with nobody on, start fresh. It's the guys, you know, that are the bulldogs or whatever, you know, whatever you want to call them. I could call them something different on the radio here, but I'd probably get expelled. But you know where I'm going with this. It's great stuff. It's great stuff. And, you know, to have him back in this form has been huge for this team here since, you said, mid-July.
All right. You ready to maybe get a split tomorrow with Tobias Myers on the mound?
I'm on it, man. Let's go.
This should be interesting. So no post-game show tomorrow, but we'll have Brewers Weekly tomorrow night. Craig Kishon, appreciate your analysis all week long. We'll talk to you again on Friday after Game 1 against the Guardians.
All right. Sounds good, Dom.
All right. Craig Kishon here on WTMJ. Let's talk about the Tyler Black decision. What's going on with him? Why are the Brewers batting him third? That's coming up next on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers win 5-4 over the Dodgers. They're up 8.5 games here in the division, and there's 42 games to go in the season. Tonight was game number 120. Last game with the Dodgers coming tomorrow. I'm Dominic Catronio. A lot of talk about Tyler Black tonight. And, you know, for a little while, Tyler Black was Brewers Twitter's favorite subject to bring up. Call him up! Call him up! Call him up! And, well, Black struggled today. He went 0 for 3 with a walk and a pair of strikeouts, one swinging and one looking. The looking one coming in a clutch spot in the seventh inning with a man on second trying to add some insurance. The Brewers failed to do so. Well, the number one question is, why is Tyler Black hitting third on this team? Honestly, from the bottom of my heart, that is a great question. You know, we asked Pat Murphy about it today. They feel with their lineup construction, they'd rather have Black hitting third, where it's less likely that they would set up a matchup with lefties. They would use the lefties against Bowers, Mitchell, Frelick in the bottom half of the order in today's particular lineup. And then they would bring in a Gary Sanchez or a Rhys Hoskins if they needed to. And they would leave Black there. They like Black's speed. They like Black's bat-to-ball skills, which we have not quite seen yet here in the big leagues, but he is learning. Then it becomes a question of, well, on a day that Rhys Hoskins is getting a day off, and you know Bowers is going to play first base, and Bowers ultimately hit a home run today, but he has not played well when he's in the three spot. I honestly wonder, and I talked about this on last night's show, I know it was a righty, and I know it's Walker Buehler, and I know you're about to face a ton of righties here coming up. Why not put Gary in there, man? Why not put Gary as the DH? I mean, he's here. You've got three catchers for a reason. And, you know, whether it's Murph, whether it's front office, maybe there's a disagreement there. I don't know. But I would like to see Gary as the DH. Granted, I bet Gary's going to be catching tomorrow, the day game after a night game, with Tobias Myers on the mound. Or maybe Eric Haas will get the start tomorrow, and they give William a day off, and Gary's the DH tomorrow. I don't know what it's going to look like, but the point is, I think for Black, he's going to be around this lineup for a little while here. Again, they're in a stretch where they're only going to be facing right-handed pitching. Tomorrow is a right-hander in Jack Flaherty. The weekend against the Guardians, all right-handed starting rotation. Next week against the Cardinals, all right-handed starting rotation. The A's have one lefty in their rotation. It's too far out to project who their rotation will be, but that's four right-handers out of five starters. And then you come back home for the Giants, and that's when things can get funky. But Terang can get a little bit of rope here Black can get a little bit of rope here of trying to get some ABs against right-handed pitching. But at the end of the day, you need to perform if you're going to stick around. And maybe the three spot isn't his spot. Remember last year when Sal Frelick was hitting 3 and 4 for the Crew because they had no other options to do so. Trust me, the Brewers would love to have Christian Yelich hitting third, but obviously they can't. And Blake Perkins is injured right now, so Garrett Mitchell is getting kind of everyday reps, and he has been in a funk as of late. Three more strikeouts tonight for him. He's starting to chase elevated pitches too, so he's really cooled down as of late. The Brewers are kind of plugging and playing, trying to figure out what works without Christian Yelich in this order, and not having Perkins against lefties is huge, but I'm with you. I am still equally confused as to why Black gets the blessing at third, but at the same time, it's like the Brewers, he's the eighth different hitter the Brewers have used in the three spot since Yelly went on the IL. Think about that for a second. That is so many different guys that they have used. They've used Churio there. They've used Black there. They've used Contreras there. They've used Adames there. They've used Bowers there. They've used Mitchell there. They've used Hoskins there. And they have used Ortiz there. It's wacky. They're trying to figure it out without Christian Yelich. That's as simple as it gets. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, a little bit later. Highlights as well. Also, Jake Bowers on the network postgame with Jeff a little bit earlier on the evening, too. All that coming up here on Brewers Extra Innings. Brewers win 5-4 over the Dodgers on 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Brewers get the victory 5-4. Go for the split tomorrow. I'm Dominic Catronio. Brewers Extra Innings is brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Right now, this month only, Sider is waiving their $99 trip fee for HVAC service calls. Visit Sider.com today to schedule an appointment before it's too late. That's Sider, Sider.com. Now, before we hear from Pat Murphy a little bit later on here in the program, how about Jake Bowers, who joined the show with Jeff Levering on the network postgame show? So enjoy this one with Jake hitting his 10th home run of the season tonight.
Maybe we'll keep it right here for just a moment because Jake Bowers has just joined us downstairs in the clubhouse. Jake's got his headset on. Jake, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you guys?
Doing great. This is Jeff Levering upstairs. And, Jake, a big win for the team today, man. Just clutch hits and taking advantage of every opportunity that was given.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. And, I mean, I can't say enough about what Frankie Montas did tonight. That's not easy, going out, giving up three in the first, and then, you know, coming back, throwing four shutty, keeping us in the game. Super impressed with that, so got to give a shout-out to him.
Yeah, just a lot of weird stuff happened in that first inning, too. Some weird plays that just aren't indicative of what this defense has done over the course of the season, too, right?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, listen, it's baseball. Things are going to happen. By no means are we perfect, and so I think it's just important to do what we did tonight and be able to bounce back and, you know, put a fight up and come out on top.
For you, Jake, a home run in the second inning, and for you, it hasn't been easy for the last 10 ball games, and I know you're starting to feel it at times, but one swing like that can sometimes change your luck at times, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to, whenever I get a chance to get in the lineup, just trying to figure out a way to contribute, so... You know, that's where my focus is at. Been working, always will be working. So, you know, thankful it worked out tonight. Feel like I had some pretty good at-bats and was seeing the ball well.
I know for you it probably doesn't mean a lot because you've been in the big leagues for a long time. You played this game for a long time. But being a Southern California kid, beating the Dodgers is always fun.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously they got some superstars over there. So I think it's important that, you know, we show them we can go toe-to-toe with them. And that's what we did tonight.
Opportunity to split the series tomorrow. That's big, too, with Tobias Myers on the mound.
Yeah, no doubt. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to it.
Jake, thanks for the time. Did you dry off at all, by the way?
I'm, like, semi-dry, not too dry. It did feel good, though. I was sweaty. I was hot. So that ice bath did feel pretty good.
Good. I like that. You earned it. Thanks, Jake.
All right, guys.
All right, Jake Bowers with Jeff Levering earlier tonight as the Brewers get the victory by a 5-4 score. While we're at it, let's hear from Pat Murphy after tonight's win.
Let me ask you a scoring question just to open this up with something. Yeah. How can Terang not be credited with a double on that? It's ridiculous.
You were saying the same thing.
Well, let's get that changed. How do we do that? That's ridiculous. The ball fell in the outfield. Okay, he was safe at second, then didn't retouch when he went back, and then redirected, went all the way to third, and didn't why wouldn't that be a hit, Mike? It's a hit. So call the guy and tell him he screwed up.
Mike can give you the number of the Elias Sports Bureau.
No, I don't want to do any of that. Just get it changed, Mike. Do something. It's a double. And then why would they let him stay a second then? It's a double.
In a game you won tonight, how did you draw that script up in the ninth pretty well there with Devin and Ohtani Betts Freeman?
That was classic. That was classic. Yeah. Good experience for our guys. We made a ton of mistakes early. Not mistakes like, you know, like it's not a mistake to get thrown out at the plate on a perfect throw. Everybody executed right. Three walks in the first inning. You get thrown out at the plate. Then, you know, a couple poor at bats, whatever. But, yeah, it could have went easily the other way. In the second inning, we could have broke it open, but we didn't. But a lot of key plays, you know, a lot of key plays. Terang had a huge night. Churio, huge night. Those are two really young players. It was great. So,
Murph, is one way to put it, like that would have been a really tough game to lose?
No. You know, I'll tell you why. Because you're going to lose baseball games to great teams, and they're built to be – they're built to be the best or one of the best, and they have some of the best players in the world, like maybe the top three, you know, and they got a lot of great things going for them. And maybe the top, you know, four of the top 10, you know. And we competed. That's the Brewers you guys have seen it all year. We competed, regardless of who was on the mound. We competed. We bounce back every inning. We put pressure. Most every inning, we try to put pressure, and you know it made a difference. And that's how we have to do it. And we pitched. I mean, Montas. Let's not forget this guy. Him and William navigated five innings and 100 plus pitches. But the guy's stuff was great, and the guts he showed staying in there. I mean, Frankie Montas for me, you know, that's a memory for a long time. Much needed, and he stepped up. And, you know, Ortiz, think about it. Ortiz had three good at-bats. You know, it's like, that's the kind of stuff, you know, you got your 9-1 and 2-hole hitters having of their, they had 10 of the 11 at-bats were good. 10 of the 11 were good. That's what I'm talking about. And we didn't get a lot of hits, but we battled. That's what you can ask for.
Murph, you just said it. Those three guys at the top of the order are three of the best, not the best players in the world. But when you look out there and you see Devin coming in and like how he looks when he's coming into a game, do you feel still pretty good about your chances?
Of course. I've been watching this kid for a couple years now. He'd be on. If you're making an all-star team of the best and those three are on it, Devin probably be on it too. You know, he's been through a lot. And I'll tell you, Devin Williams, like, he stayed with our team every step of the way. He was a teammate every step of the way. You know, teams out there that are other than us that are going to sign him to a long-term deal, like, know what you're getting, man. This guy is an incredible teammate for his role and being in the situation he was, the way he handled himself this year. Yeah, he's a great competitor.
Awesome competitor. Pretty impressive stuff from Montas today. Highlights, they're coming up next, and a wacky one tonight as the Brewers win 5-4.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Gone!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Brewers and Dodgers game 3 of a 4-game set. Brewers needed this one to start the road to get a split with LA, and this game started in a poor fashion for Frankie Montas. First four batters all reached. It produced a run with a bases-loaded walk. Then a sac fly from Kike Hernandez and an RBI double from Kevin Kiermaier. And boom, you spotted the Dodgers 3 runs in the first. The Brewers loaded the bases in the bottom of the first inning with nobody out, but failed to score a run. But that was just the beginning of the zaniness of this game. In the bottom of the second inning, the Brewers would find a way to respond. It all started with Jake Bowers.
Swinging a liner to right and deep. Get up! Get out of here! Gone for Jake Bowers. And the Brewers are on the board on a rocket line drive by Bowers. His 10th of the year. It's now 3-1, Dodgers.
Bob Uecker's call here on WTMJ. Then with two strikes and two outs and a man on second base, Bryce Terang at the top of the order trying to keep the inning alive.
Buehler deals. Terang sends one to center and deep. Get up on the wall. It's off the wall. He's going to have at least a three-bagger. Into third he goes with a run-scoring triple. And it's a 3-2 game now.
And they still weren't done in the inning. With a 2-2 count, the backbreakers continue with Jackson Churio.
Walker coming back. Broken bat, fair ball down the line. Throw to first, going to be late, and the run scores, and this game is tied.
It was an infield hit for Churio. No chance to get him with his speed. You blink, and all of a sudden, this game was 3-3. Meanwhile, Frankie Montas didn't allow a hit from innings 2-4, and the Brewers were trying to reward him. In the bottom of the fourth inning, a leadoff walk. Every good rally starts with a leadoff walk. Garrett Mitchell then stole second base, got to third on a ground out from Frelick. And then with the bottom of the order, Joey Ortiz trying to make up for an error earlier.
Again, the infield up on the grass for the Dodgers. The pitch, ground ball to short.
It's under the glove of Hernandez, and safe at the plate is Mitchell. The Brewers take a 4-3 lead.
It was ruled a fielder's choice and an error on the third baseman, Kike Hernandez, but the Brewers would fail to add on after a base-running blunder from Joey Ortiz later on in the frame. So this game is a 4-3 lead for the Brewers. Montas guts his way through five innings. In the sixth, a sneaky underrated play from this one. Nick Mears came on for 7-8-9 in the order, but he allowed a leadoff single to Kevin Kiermaier. His catcher helped erase that single.
And the pitch, runner goes, and the throw is going to be... It had to be perfect, and it was, with the tag applied by Bryce Terang.
needed that, make sure he didn't face the top of the order. They went to Jared Koenig in the seventh. He got Ohtani to strike out. Betts dropped a single. Freeman dropped a single. And then with two outs, a pinch hitter, Miguel Rojas, had an RBI single to tie the game at the top of the seventh. But once again, the rally began at the bottom of the seventh with a leadoff hit by pitch this time for Joey Ortiz. They bunted him over to second base, and then more chaos.
Phillips steals. Line drive, shallow right, sinking fast, base hit. Betts drops the baseball. Here comes Ortiz. The Brewers have the lead. Churio ends up at second base as Mookie Betts on that second hop took his head up and the baseball went underneath his glove.
All of a sudden, the Brewers had the lead. They had their closer warming, and he had the gauntlet waiting for him. Ohtani, Betts, Freeman. He got Ohtani to fly out. He got Betts to strike out, and it was all down to Freddie.
The pay window, bouncer, hit to Terang, and this one is over. How about that? Devin Williams, the heat of the night. Top three in the Dodger order. And he retires the side in order.
On just seven pitches. Great stuff from the crew. They win tonight 5-4. We'll give you the schedule for tomorrow as we wrap up the program after this on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Couple last second texts here as we wrap up the program. This one from Doug. Huge win. Now go get the split tomorrow. No harm, no foul. What a way to end the game. Three up and three down against three Hall of Famers. This one from Mike in Colorado. This team gutted through that terrible first inning. Rebounded to win. Impressive, especially after the first two losses. Now if they can get another win tomorrow, they'll be in good shape heading into the weekend. Then to St. Louis next week. I agree that it's all in front of them now, as we say in the golf terms. It's all out in front of you. You get the split tomorrow, you'll be up 9 games. You win a series against the Guardians, you'll likely gain more ground since the Cardinals will be playing the Dodgers. And then you get to face Cardinals head-to-head yourself next week. Tomorrow, 1:10 first pitch. We are on the air at 12:35 with the On Deck Show. And no post-game show tomorrow, but we do have Brewers Weekly tomorrow night. That is at 8 o'clock here on 620 WTMJ. And a quick programming note for next Thursday, not tomorrow night, but next Thursday, there will not be a Brewers Weekly due to DNC coverage down in Chicago. That's going to do it for my show tonight. Thank you for staying up late with us after a thriller, three-hour thriller here at the ballpark. Brewers get the victory 5-4. Tobias Myers goes for the split tomorrow up against Jack Flaherty. Hope you can join us tomorrow at 12:35. My thanks to our producer, Max Meyerson. I'm Dominic Catronio, and our thanks to Craig Kishon for joining us too. Once again, see you tomorrow. Until then, keep on swinging.